So today we're going to have a little discussion on how to survive in the 21st century. I assume that everybody wants to survive. Somewhere around 1897, 1898, 1899, there started to appear many soothsayers, doomsayers. You know what a doomsayer is? Someone who constantly talks about doom and gloom and destruction and... You don't have such a word, right? Some people People felt that the turn of the century would bring very bad luck. Various religious organizations predicted the second coming of Christ. Especially some witnesses who had already predicted it many times before. You probably know who I mean, right? Along came 1900, January, and nothing happened. And 1901, still nothing had happened. Of course, many bad things have happened in this century. That we can understand is the nature of this age, Kali Yuga. It is getting progressively worse. We had two major world wars in this century, wherein many millions of people were killed. And we have had many major catastrophes wherein hundreds of thousands of people were killed. But don't worry, friends, this is just the beginning. We are only 5,000 years into Kali Yuga. There are another 427,000 years left to go. In fact, there are descriptions in the Vedas that near the end of Kali Yuga, people will live to be 20 years old, and they will be considered very, very old people. They will grow to a huge stature of 2 feet tall. And they will qualify for the Chicago Bulls. The basketball team. You haven't heard of Chicago Bulls? All right, the Croatian national team. People will meet one another for one of two reasons. Either to have sex or to eat the other person. Or maybe both. Copying the black widow spider or the praying mantis. So it already goes on now, so don't imagine that it can't happen. As far as eating one another, that also goes on at this time in many places on this planet. Prabhupada used to talk about a rumor, a story, fairly reliable, that you could get a dead fetus for lunch at Andy Warhol's restaurant in New York. Anyone heard of Andy Warhol? Okay, he's fairly famous. If we look at this last century, we will see that in the last 100 years, there have been so many disasters. But in the last 10 years, there have been more disasters than in the last 100 years. And the fact is that in the last 3 years there have been three times as many disasters as in the last 10 years. In 1998, it appeared in the paper just the other day, the Hrvatska News. I don't know, what paper was it?
Novi List.
It appeared in the paper that in 1998, was it in that paper? In 1998, there were more than 27 wars started, new wars started on the planet. Some of the more prominent ones are India and Pakistan, who are both nuclear powers. In the last 50 years, they have already fought three major wars with each other over Kashmir. They are now threatening each other with another war. The Arabs and Israel. It is not just Palestine, but all around Israel there are many Arab nations that are ready to fight. A major conflict there where Israel was endangered could easily draw major world powers into the fight. The Balkans with the rest of the world. That one's too difficult to figure out. I don't know who they're fighting. North Korea and South Korea, both North Korea is a nuclear power. They are shooting at each other in their own territorial waters. North Korea is invading South Korea's territorial waters, and they have sunk so many boats and killed so many men, and they are talking in a very bellicose way. Japan is very worried, and the first time since the Second World War, they're starting to spend huge amounts of money on their military. In Indonesia, there is great internal struggle and even war. In Burma, in Somalia, Ethiopia, Sudan, so many intra-wars and inter-wars with rebels are going on.
In Somalia, Ethiopia, Sudan,
we all know about Rwanda, where in the last few years over 1 million people were butchered, slaughtered, murdered. A million old men, women, children hacked to death viciously. The Ivory Coast has had major wars in the last few years. Liberia only last year was all over the news in CNN. Sierra Leone, just I read in the paper the other day, aid workers were seeing again, the same type of mass burial grounds, huge, atrocities perpetrated against innocent people. Saddam Hussein is still waiting for his chance to fight. Iran spreads its brand of terrorism wherever it can and is also on the verge of a war with Afghanistan. Afghanistan is supporting the war with India and Pakistan. They're Muslim fundamentalists, and they are all over the world, and they can do anything. On Tuesday, Mr. Öcalan, is that his name?
Öcalan.
Will be sentenced, but that does not mean that his people will stop fighting against Turkey. In Chechnya, all over South America, there are so many activities going on, so many minor wars. It is a very hot planet right now, and I don't mean summertime.
In Chechnya, Zapravo ovo je jako vrela planeta u trenutku i pritom ne mislim na ljeto.
There is an increase in hurricanes and tornadoes. Practically every couple of weeks there's a new earthquake. Africa is warning of new famine which is about to break out. Flooding, drought, side by side. The every year millions, and this is a fact, I'm not bluffing, millions of acres of land are turned into desert on this planet. Every 3 seconds a child dies from disease brought on by water pollution. There's no water on the planet. One thousand, 2,000, 3,000, another child just died. Air pollution. The ozone layer. The rainforests. So many species of life are appearing to become extinct on this planet because of man's viciousness.
Jako puno životnih vrsta će izumreti na ovoj planeti.
So how are we going to deal with all these things? How are we going to survive?
Kako ćemo da se snimimo, kako da se ponašamo, kako ćemo preživjeti?
Perhaps some of you had family members, relatives, or friends who were affected by the 1991 war crisis. When Yamaraj, the superintendent of death, when he appeared as a human being and engaged in a conversation with Dharmaraj Yudhisthir, he asked him, what is the most wonderful thing in the world? Yamaraj said, the Taj Mahal. No. He didn't say the Sphinx in Egypt. He didn't say this thing or that thing, Mount Everest. He said the most amazing thing in the world, the most wonderful, amazing, bewildering thing is that although every one of us has been touched by death in some way or another, we're thinking that it won't happen to me. We're making so many plans to live for a long time. We're building a nice house on the coast of Kirk. We're joining a club with a 5-year membership fee.
postajemo članovi kluba u kojem se članarina plaća 5 godina unaprijed.
We're having so many children and arranging for their schooling and we're making so many plans for our enjoyment. Because we think that somehow I will be saved. But this material world is a temporary place full of misery, dukkha layama shashvatam, and it is not a place to become secure. It is not a place to put your roots. Padam padam yadvi padam na tesham. At any moment, any one of us could be kicked out from this material world. And we must be aware of this. If we are neglectful, if we are casual, if we are not prepared to try to understand what is happening, then we will suffer greatly. In the next century, you are going to see that so many diseases which they thought they had cured are going to come back again. Because the viruses and the pathogens of whatever nature have learned to conquer over the very medicine that could control them formerly. At one point they thought they had eradicated tuberculosis from the world. It's making a huge comeback all over the world. It's increasing like anything. What to speak of all the new diseases that they have no idea how to deal with. But we won't catch any of those diseases, right? Won't happen to us. Maybe someone else somewhere in some other country. Don't be so sure. You've got so many things, including AIDS, hepatitis, mad cow's disease, innumerable different diseases they have no idea how to deal with. So we can't avoid the miseries which are going to take place. The only thing we can do is prepare ourselves mentally and spiritually. This Bhagavad Gita, this Krishna consciousness movement, the association of devotees, Srila Prabhupada's teachings, they are here to benefit us both spiritually and materially. Krishna says, Saha Yagya Praja Srishtva Puravacha Prajapati Anena Prashivishya Dhamishabo Srishta Kamadukarjuna. I've given a plan by which you can live in this world. If you learn this plan, If you follow this plan, then you will be able to live happily in this world. Sparga pavargasya narakesh vapi tulyati darshinaha. Whether a devotee is in swarga, heaven, or naraka, hell, because his mind is fixed on Krishna, he is peaceful. Nasti buddhira yuktasya na chayaktasya bhavana na chabhavayata shantira shantasya kutasukam. Nasti buddhira yuktasya. Without connection with the divine supreme personality, buddhi means Krishna. Nachayuktasya bhavana. One cannot have a controlled intelligence. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that those who are on this path, ekeha kurunandana, their mind is one, their mind is fixed, they are focused on their spiritual lives. Therefore, vyavasayatmika buddhi, they get this superior intelligence how to live in the world, like the lotus flower, it's in the water, but not be touched by the world, just as the lotus flower is not touched by the water. Nacha bhavayata shantir ashantasya kuta sukham. Without controlled intelligence, it's not possible to be peaceful. The greatest cause of distress in the 21st century, the greatest disease according to the World Health Organization, is going to be mental disorder, mental health. People are going to suffer so much because they won't be able to tolerate the suffering. Already all over the world, in some of the richest countries, we find so many people committing suicide. Either directly or indirectly. Either they just take their lives with a gun in the head, or they get involved in some kind of lifestyle that they know will kill them, but they just don't care. They have a death wish. This is coming. Unless one develops a peaceful mind, one cannot be happy. And Krishna says, Bhoktaram yagya tapasam sarva loka maheshvaram suridam sarva bhutanam gyapamam shantim richati. All you have to do is recognize that there is a supreme person, a supreme intelligent being. You have to recognize that he exists and offer respect. Whatever is happening to us in this life is happening to us because of providence.
Već sam se događa u ovom životu, događa nam se zbog sudbine.
We cannot stop what is going to happen. But we can change our reaction to what happens to us. We cannot change what kind of body we're going to be born with. That is destined by our purva karma. We cannot decide how we will acquire wealth or material opulence in life. Sukamaindriya kam daitya deha yogena dehina sarvatra labhyate daivad yatha dukham ayatnataha. Happiness and distress are coming automatically because of karmana daivanetrena, higher authority. That is not your goal in life, to try to increase your material facilities. These things won't bring you peace of mind. In history, no one has ever become more happy by becoming wealthier and wealthier and wealthier and wealthier. No one has ever become more happy by having more sex and more sex and more sex. No one has ever become peaceful by getting more and more intoxicated. No one has become peaceful or satisfied becoming indiscriminate in their eating habits. Happiness has to be worked for. Happiness has to be... There is a definition of happiness. Na sato vidite bhavo, na bhavo vidite sataha. Ubayorapi drishtantas tanayas tattadarshibi. The self-realized persons have understood that only that which continues to give us ever-increasing pleasure is real pleasure. And sense gratification does not do that. Whatever you get, it always diminishes in time. We see all these things, even we can intuit. we can have an intuition of these things. But we have to realize it and change our lives in a positive way. Trigunya Vishaya Veda Nistrigunya Bhava Arjun. The Vedas deal with the material world, and the material world is temporary. Talking about the Karma Kanda section of the Vedas. So he says, Nistragunyo Bhavarjun, rise above the modes of material nature. Nirvanva Nityasatvasto Niryoga Kshema Atmavan. Be established in the self. Find happiness in self-realization. Adjust your life so that your pleasure comes from Krishna consciousness. This you have to work for. You have, just like a physician, a surgeon works on a diseased patient, you have to work on yourself. You have to conquer your animal nature by your spiritual self, your higher self. Nastieva, nastieva, nastieva. There's no other way. Now, this providence is an interesting word.
Ova sudbina je jedna zanimljiva riječ.
And I looked it up in the Bhagavatam, and there are a few nice examples given here.
Pogledala sam u Bhagavatamu i našao nekoliko lijepih primjera.
One famous lady in the Srimad Bhagavatam who suffered so much was Kunti Devi. So in a purport in the first canto, 9th chapter, Bhishma Dev is leaving the world. Bhishma is a very great personality, very dear to Lord Krishna. He performed a very austere vow his whole life.
Bhishma Dev je vrlo važna osoba koja je jako draga gospodinu Krishni. On je tijekom cijelog svog života se pridržavao jednog vrlo oštrog savjeta.
He got the benediction that he could leave the world whenever he chose to. So he waited till the end of the battle of Kurukshetra. And then he called Lord Krishna and Yudhisthira and so many other heroes around him. He didn't have to call them, they automatically came. So he began to give them very wonderful instructions on dharma and on practical life. So he was, Yudhisthira was totally mentally devastated. Although all his life he had acted piously, although he had acted according to dharma, but after the battle he was feeling that everything was his fault. So Bhishma was trying to pacify him and get him to take up his position as emperor of the world for the benefit of everyone. So in the verse 1.9.13, the passing of Bhishma, and in the purport, the same point is brought out. Srila Prabhupada says, "The sufferings of Kunti Devi are doubly lamented." She suffered greatly because of early widowhood. You remember that Pandu had two wives, Madri and Kunti Devi. Both devoted, both very excellent wives in every way. Although Pandu became emperor of the world unofficially, he did not perform a Rajasuya sacrifice. He was renounced and he chose to live in the forest. He handed over the administration of his kingdom to his blind brother Dhritarashtra. He was detached. He preferred to live in the forest, hearing from the sages and enjoying nature and living a simple life. While he was in the forest, as was the nature of Kshatriyas, he was engaging in hunting. He saw two deer, a male deer and a female deer mating, and he shot them. It turned out that it was a sage and his wife who had no home. They were so renounced, so they decided he wanted to give her a son, so he decided that they would take the bodies of a deer and a doe and they would mate in that way. First of all, Pandu should not have shot even a deer while he was mating. But what to speak of shooting a Brahmin and his wife? You have to be careful when you do these kinds of things to sages and saintly persons. He received a heavy curse that he would die as soon as he embraced one of his wives. So finally he, after 12 years of celibacy, he embraced Madri. And in fact, he died. So both wives were completely distraught, and both wanted to enter the, and both wanted to enter the fire. Meaning the fire along the cremation fire along with Pandu. They wanted to leave the world. They were attached to their husband and they could not think of living without their husband. But Kunti was forced to stay, even though she was the oldest, still. Madri convinced her that Madri should die. So here's Kunti in the forest, of course living with sages, but five children, five young boys, and she had to bring them up all by herself.
ostala sama u šumi, u duše vidjela je okružena tim braćima, ali imala je petero male djece, petero dječaka i potpuno sama ih je trebalo odgojiti.
And all the time she was crying inside because of the loss of her husband. It was not easy to bring up these five little demigods. For example, Bhima fell off a cliff one time. And they all thought that he was dead. They went down to the bottom of the cliff and there was a big rock that Bhima had landed on, and the rock had become powder. Bhima had smashed it to powder. Little baby. It was hard to just feed Bhima. He was known as Vrikodara, voracious eater. Throughout their lives, the rule of the Pandavas, whenever they would get any food, 50% would go to Bhima and 50% to the rest of them. Then finally Vyasadeva took Kunti and the five young Pandavas when they were about 15 or so, they were just young men, took them to the palace. Dhritarashtra, being influenced by Duryodhana, actually Duryodhana, here's an example. Duryodhana, when he was born, there were such inauspicious signs that Vidura and the other leaders told Dhritarashtra to put aside this son, kill this son, throw him away, he'll destroy your whole race.
Onda su se pojavila se strašno puno nepovoljnih znakova i kada su Vidura i drugi mudraci vidjeli te preznake, onda su savjetovali Dhritarashtri da se riješi tog sina, da ga ubije, jer će on uništiti čitavu dinastiju.
And somehow he became the favorite son of Dhritarashtra.
Međutim, on je nekako postao omiljeni Dhritarashtrinski.
So when Kunti came with her children, Duryodhana was very envious of them and very fearful that they would someday take the kingdom away from him. So he was constantly trying to kill them, especially Bhima. So in this way Kunti was put into so much distress. And when her children were grown up, she continued to suffer because of her son's actions. So the Pandavas were engaged in so many intrigues with the Kauravas, and there was so much animosity between them. At the very end, Duryodhana and Dushasana and Shakuni plotted to steal everything from the Pandavas by a gambling match. When Yudhisthira had performed the Rajasuya sacrifice successfully, he had taken a vow that he would always obey and follow his elders.
Kad je Jezišćin uspješno obavio svoje žrtovanje, onda je dao savjet da će uvijek poslušati one koji su stariji od njega.
So, when he was asked or ordered by Dhritarashtra, whom he considered his elder, to gamble, even though he knew it was wrong, he did it out of his respect for Dharma. He gambled away his huge wealth. He gambled away his brothers. He even gambled away himself. And finally he gambled Draupadi. Kunti Devi had to see all of this. And then finally there was a great war. The Pandavas, their sons were all killed. So many lives were lost, so many relatives of Kunti were lost. Still she suffered it all. So her sufferings continued. That means that she was destined to suffer by providence. And this one has to tolerate without being disturbed. Little things we may try to adjust or change. But there are many, many miseries that affect our lives which we just can't change. Krishna says, Matra sparsha stukonteya sitoshna sukadugada agama paino nityastans titikshas pabartha. Just like winter and summer seasons come and go, happiness and distress come and go, you just have to tolerate. You have to understand that this is happening to my body, but I am different from my body, I am eternal. If I am enjoying, life is temporary, it will end. And if I am suffering, life is temporary and it will also end. Therefore, sukha dukhe same kritva. We have to control our minds and be equanimical, and the only way we can do that is through Krishna consciousness. Now, when Prithu Maharaj, the incarnation of Godhead, the King Prithu, when he was performing his Ashwamedha Yajna, Indra became envious. So Indra came and disguised as a sannyasi. This happened. He stole away the sacrificial horse. The yajna could not be completed. So Prithu was instructed, my dear king, do not be agitated. Do not become anxious because your sacrifices have not been properly executed. Due to providential impediments. Kindly take my words with great respect. Now we're talking about our own survival in the 21st century, going through a difficult period. We should always remember that if something happens by providential arrangement, we should not be very sorry. The more we try to rectify such reversals, the more we enter into the darkest region of materialistic thought. We've got a short time. Believe me, life is short. Very tempus fugit, right? You all know Latin. Time flies away. And you get on a bus. Just look around you at the people sitting on the seats. Next time you get on a bus, maybe going home tonight, you'll see a young little girl, very pretty, 7, 8 years old, bright eyes, smooth skin, very joyful. And you'll see an old lady with wrinkles and shriveled up hair, and she looks like a balloon. And when Srila Prabhupada was lying on his deathbed, he was suffering from a very heavy kidney disease. The doctor in London said, "I do not know how this man could have tolerated the pain that he must have gone through over the last 5 or 10 years and not have complained." For your information, getting a kidney stone, the pain is worse than the pain of death. I have seen grown men get a kidney stone and get such pain that they were rolling on the floor crying like a little baby. The thing that would help was a shot of morphine. So, Srila Prabhupada was fasting practically for the last year. He was hardly eating anything. For the last 5, 6 months, 4 months, I guess, he was in Vrindavan, lying on his bed. He didn't move. He had body sores all over from staying in the same bed all the time. There was no flesh in his body. It was just skin and bone. It's so sensitive. The flesh keeps the skin and bone separated so that you don't feel any rubbing or any pain. But without flesh, the body is just torture. One day, a number of devotees were in Prabhupada's room. They were singing some bhajans, and then they were talking something. Everybody was feeling so sorry for Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada turned his head over and put up his hand as best he could, and he said, "Don't think that this won't happen to you someday." So it's going to happen, and we can't do anything about it, but if we use our short life trying to rectify all these problems, we'll get totally entangled. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Sometimes the saintly or very religious person also has to meet with reversals in life. All of us are included. Such incidents should be taken as providential. Although there may be sufficient cause for being unhappy, avoid counteracting such reversals. The more we become implicated in rectifying such reversals, the more we enter into the darkest regions of material.